Glad to see everyone back this evening. You have your Bibles with you. Be turning over to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. We'll be getting to our text in just a few moments. There's a book entitled Island of the Saints. It's about a particular German submarine, U-boat 166. The story describes that U-166 came to the Gulf of Mexico to sink transports and ships from America, which were participating in World War II activities in Europe. One woman's husband was on a ship headed for the war when it was attacked by a German submarine and sank. Later, a young German who translated English was brought topside. He was shot and left for dead in the sea, but washed ashore while he was still alive. This woman, whose husband had been killed in that U-boat attack, found him. And at first, she hated him because he was German, and in her mind, the reason why her husband had died. However, she couldn't bring herself to kill him. And so she helped him recover. And when interviewed later, it seems that they had become a couple later on. They gave a basic synopsis of forgiveness that saved both of their lives. They said something along these lines: for you to forgive another person, it is not required that he ask for your forgiveness. For you to forgive another person, number two, it is not required that he deserves your forgiveness. And number three, for you to forgive another person, it is not even required that he is aware that he has been forgiven. That was their definition of forgiveness. You know, one statement that kind of gave me pause there, even that I disagreed with at first, was there's not a shred of evidence from experts or books, including the Bible, that demands a person ask for, deserve, or be cognizant of the process before you can forgive him. Forgiveness, as it turns out, is a gift that means more to the giver than it does to the receiver. But I began to think about that, and on the side of the one needing forgiveness, there are some things that are required to obtain forgiveness. The one needing forgiveness, there are some things that are required for him to obtain forgiveness. We must want to be forgiven. Our actions need to follow up that desire. But on the other hand, friends, to forgive someone is our own choice. It is our own decision. And so again, forgiveness, as it turns out, is a gift that means more to the giver than it does to the receiver. And someone may say, well, you know, Jesus said, take heed to yourselves in Luke 17:3-4, if your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you seven times in the day and turns to you seven times and says, I repent, you must forgive him, or you shall forgive him. They may say that says, if he repents, you must forgive him. But friends, it's not talking about what you can do if he does not repent. The topic is never directly discussed in Scripture. Notice how it started, Luke 17, beginning there in verse 3. Take heed to your brother. Take heed to your neighbor. No, it says take heed to yourselves. And friends, that's exactly the point that we're trying to make tonight. Take heed to yourselves. Why did he say that? Why did he say take heed to yourselves in that verse? Well, think about it, friends. We as humans, don't we tend to hold grudges? Don't we tend to be vengeful? Don't we tend to be vindictive? Don't we tend to be resentful? Don't we tend to be hateful or angry when others do us wrong? You know, we may think they had no right to do that. We may even think, you know what, I'll get them back. Or even God will get them for that. Friends, when it comes to forgiveness, how can people with that kind of attitude ever understand and obey the words of Jesus? If you have your Bibles over to Matthew chapter 5, I want you to begin reading with me in verse 39. Matthew 5, beginning of verse 39, we read, "But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away." It's just the beginning there of our text. But notice what Jesus says here. Someone smites you on the right cheek, turn to him the other. If any would take from you your coat, let him have your cloak as well. Anyone forces you to go 1 mile, you go with him too. Give to him who begs. Do not refuse the one that would borrow. How does this play in to our lesson tonight of forgiveness? Friends, it's not about whether someone needs or deserves forgiveness. It's about our need to forgive someone and about the benefit of forgiving someone. It's not about those who have hurt me over the years, but rather it's about me letting go of grudges, letting go of bitterness, letting go of resentment and anger that keeps me from being what God wants me to be. In Luke 15, we read the parable of the prodigal son. That's what we've entitled it for a lot of years, the parable of the prodigal son. And, you know, if we read it carefully, the story is not really about the son who left home and wasted his property. It's not really about him and his reckless living and then him turning back. We can draw some lessons from that, yes. We can draw some lessons from the father who longed there to see his son come home. But friends, when we read that parable, when we read it carefully, we see that it, at the end, the climax has to do there with the older brother. We read there of that older brother, and we listen there to Luke 15 and verse 18, and we see that the older brother was angry, and he would not go in. You don't even have to hear it, but when you read what he said in verses 29 through 30, you can tell how angry he was. He wanted attention. He wanted respect. He wanted appreciation. He wanted approval. He wanted acceptance, but felt like he didn't have it, and so he was jealous. He was angry, friends, and he held a grudge. He would not even go in. Here was his brother who had left home. For all intents and purposes, he was dead. He was dead. And here his brother is again, and he will not even go in to see him. He was holding a grudge. He was holding to that bitterness. He was holding to that anger. He would not let it go. Does that speak of us today when someone has wronged us? Friends, we need to learn about forgiveness. Turn with me, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 4. Keep a finger there in Matthew 5 because we're coming back. But Ephesians chapter 4, I want you to notice with me verses 31 and 32. Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. Paul, writing to the Ephesian brethren, begins there in verse 31 and says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Friends, should that not hit home with us? Paul tells us here that we are to let bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor or loud quarreling, slander, they are to be put away from us. We are not to have any malice in our hearts, but rather we are to be kind. We are to be tender-hearted. We are to be forgiving. Why? Look at the end there, verse 32. "Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Friends, he didn't have to. He didn't have to send his son to this earth to die for our sins. He didn't have to do that, friends, but because of the mercy that he had for us, he did just that. In Galatians 5 and verse 20, we read of the works of the flesh there that Paul gives in that list, and he lists some of these things of which we're talking: enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy. Friends, if we have not forgiveness, if we're not kind, if we're not tender-hearted, and we refuse to forgive one another, then what do we have? We have the works of the flesh. We have anger within us, enmity, strife, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, and envy. And so Jesus says in Mark 11, in verse 25, whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against another, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. We've mentioned this in Bible class in the past couple of weeks concerning forgiveness. But friends, I ask it again. What kind of shape would we be in if God forgave like we do? Something to think about. Friends, we've got to learn to let things go. We cannot be like the man who said, "Mom, I'll always love you, but I'll never forgive you for cleaning my face with spit on a handkerchief." We've got to let it go. Put that stuff in the past. You know, think about Mark, John Mark, Acts 15, 38 and 39. He refused to go with Paul and with Barnabas to go on into the work. And so on the next missionary journey, Paul says, "No, I don't want him going." He quit and he turned back. "I don't want to have anything to do with him. He left us in the thick of it in Pamphylia and he did not go with us to the work. No, he's not going. I refuse. If he goes, I'm not going. I'm not going to do it." But friends, you know the beautiful thing about it? Let's turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And I want you to notice with me what Paul says in verse 11. Paul is wrapping up the second letter to Timothy. And he tells Timothy, "Only Luke is with me. Take Mark." And friends, this Mark that Paul is referring to, all evidence points to this being John Mark, the same man that Paul refused to allow to go with he and Barnabas, and they had an argument that was so sharp that they went their separate ways. Barnabas went one way, Paul went another. And so we read here, Paul says, "Bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry." You'll think about Mark. I wonder if Mark forgave Paul. It seems that he had. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 11. Paul said he was profitable to the ministry. Whereas before, as we read in Acts 15, Paul didn't think so. He left us before. What's to keep him from doing it again? Seems Paul had changed his mind. And it seems that he and Mark had a great relationship then. Of course, we're making assumptions there. What about Paul and Silas and the Philippian jailer? What if they had held a grudge against that man? You know, all the cells had been opened, all their shackles had come off. You know, when they would be put in prison during those days, they would have kind of stocks there for them in those prisons. And so when it was time for them to lay down, they would have stocks on their hands. They'd be laying there. Stocks on their hands, they'd be stretched out. Stocks on their feet. They couldn't hardly move. All of those bands had been loosed. The cells had been opened. And now the jailer sees they're gone. His life was going to be required because he felt that his prisoners had escaped, and so he's getting ready to fall on his sword. What if Paul and Silas had held a grudge? They could have kept their silence, couldn't they? They could have not said anything. The man would have fallen on his sword, and that would have been the end of it. But Paul and Silas stopped him. Told him, "Do yourself no harm." Man lit a lantern, and he asked the question that we must all ask at some point in life: what must I do to be saved? And they began to preach unto him and to his household the gospel. Now, if Paul and Silas had complained and pitied themselves and maybe cast insults at the guard for putting them in prison, putting them in jail, did you think that he ever would have become a Christian? Probably not. They didn't hold anything against him. So Francis asked this question as we get ready to conclude. What does forgiving someone do for us? What does forgiving someone do for me? Friends, forgiving someone frees me, frees us from the bondage of a history that will never change. I can't change what's happened. You can't change what's happened. We cannot change the past any more than anyone else can, even the one who hurt us. My first work after I got out of preaching school, about 10 years before we had gotten there, they'd gone through a split. Whenever you would say something to anyone else about reconciling, about getting the two sides back together, one side or the other always had something to say about so-and-so said this, so-and-so said this, and, you know, there's just no way around it. Thankfully, I learned about a year ago they finally reconciled. Such is not the case in a lot of situations. People just refuse to let things go. You know, let's read Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13. Philippians 3 and verse 13. Paul says here, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before." You know, Paul probably had some great memories in the preaching of the gospel. And we know that he had some memories where he suffered as well. But friends, his focus was no longer on the past. It wasn't on those that had done him wrong. It wasn't upon the things that he maybe had done wrong in his past. But rather, he says he had forgotten those things. Forgetting what lies behind, he had put them aside, and his focus was no longer on the past, but on whatever would bring him closer to Christ. Friends, when we hold on to things, when we hold grudges, that holds us back. You want to talk about a man or two men that had every right to hold a grudge? You talk about Jesus Christ, and we talk about Stephen. Jesus Christ, hanging upon the cross, said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." These men hadn't asked for forgiveness. But still, if Jesus had held a grudge against them, would he have been the Christ? Stephen, as those stones are flying toward him, probably as bones are breaking, he said, he echoes nearly verbatim those words, "Father, forgive them." Friends, do we have that kind of attitude? Or do we hold on to things for far too long? You know, forgiving someone gives us the opportunity to help the one who hurt us or others who may. You think again about Paul and Silas and the jailer. If they had held a grudge, would they have helped that man? No. But they were able to impart to him the wisdom of the gospel. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 5, I told you we'd be coming back there eventually. Notice what he says in verse 44. "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." There's those that would do those things. Notice again what he says. Bless, love your enemies, number one. Bless them that curse you, number two. Do good to them that hate you, number three. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Four things there that Jesus tells us. If we will do these things, then when maybe they begin to ask questions, maybe they begin to think within themselves that what they've been, how they've been living isn't right. If we do these things that Jesus prescribes here in verse 44, friends, then we'll be ready to help them see the light of the gospel. But if on the other hand we decide the gospel is too good for them, then friends, we've taken it upon ourselves to judge where God has reserved judgment for Himself. We must be ready and willing to forgive. Forgiving someone, as we're going to notice there at the end of our passage, forgiving someone emulates God. Friends, forgiving someone makes us more like Him. Notice with me verses 45 through 48. If we will do these things that He says in verse 44, He says, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans do so, or publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, complete, He says, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Friends, our question concerning forgiveness is, do we want to be like God? Do we want to be more like Him? We ought to strive in every way to be more like Him, to be more like Christ. The name Christian suggests such, Christ-like. Friends, if we are to be like Christ, then we need to learn how to forgive. We need to realize that even as Jesus was upon the cross and He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, that even though someone may not ask for my forgiveness, I still need to have that type of attitude. I need to let things go. That doesn't excuse me from rebuking a brother, as Jesus also commanded. But I need to be ready to let things go. Friends, are you here tonight needing forgiveness? As we put away our Bibles and take out our songbooks, are you here tonight needing forgiveness? The forgiveness that only God can offer. The forgiveness of sins. Are you here having never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ? Friends, we read in His Word that if we will believe upon Him, that if we will repent of our sin and confess Him before men and be baptized, immersed in water, for the forgiveness of sins, friends, then we can have that forgiveness. We can be washed of our sin, and He will add us to His church. Friends, are you here tonight needing that forgiveness? Are you here this night having done those things but fallen away? Do you need to come home? Do you need His forgiveness? Friends, if you have a need, whether it is to obey the gospel, whether it is to repent of sin, or friends, whether it's just for the prayers of the church, would you come now while we stand and while we sing?